If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Oh man, your mic's not on. I don't know what the hell's going on. Say something again. Nope, your mic's not working. Damn it, man. Say something again. Nope, still not working. All right. Try to guess, Mike. What the hell's
How
going
about this?
I can hear
there
you on
go.
The guess, Mike. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Check. I tried to do that. It didn't work out for me.
Yeah, I know. I see you try. Well, this is the day after Powerhouse NYC, Powerhouse 2017.
What a night.
Crazy, crazy, crazy night. The show is dope. Dope show. Shout to Charlamagne's walking in now. Shout to Egyptian. It was Egyptian Cranium who set the show.
Oh my gosh.
Egyptian. Who the hell is Egyptian?
Now, I was thinking Egyptian, the other reggae artist.
Never heard of him.
Cranium who started the
song. You know Cranium. Nobody have to know.
No, I know.
And he has a song with Rotimi.
Yeah, so
Egyptian sings Hold Ya.
Hold Ya. Yeah.
Powerhouse was dope last night. I had a good time, even though I left early. How did the weekend do?
We had all kinds of drama.
We probably left around the same time.
First of all, I just want to say sorry to the people who couldn't get in first.
Yeah, there was a lot of people
and
that couldn't
foremost, because I do feel bad about that. A lot of people couldn't get in. I guess something happened outside with the NYPD, and they shut it down outside, so it wasn't the venue. It wasn't us. It was the NYPD. There was
That's what the white people was talking about this morning when I was on the elevator.
What?
When I was on the elevator coming up, they was like, you all right last night? I said, what happened? And it's like, it's all over the news. I said, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess what they're saying is people started to rush the door.
They said people without tickets were rushing the door.
Without tickets were rushing the door.
Man, who cares? I saw Lil Uzi rush the crowd, all right? Salute to Lil Uzi. Drop on a salute bomb for Lil Uzi. I enjoy Lil Uzi. I've never seen Lil Uzi perform
He's
before.
He's great.
All right? Zestiness level's high, but it's still fun. Very fun. Okay? I like Lil Uzi.
He was at an audience and everything.
Yeah, Uzi killed it. He did
I like Uzi's energy on stage.
Uzi definitely did his damn thing. Shout out to Casanova. Casanova came out on my set.
Drop one of Clues Bombs with Casanova.
Like the run joint. So much energy.
Last year, Casanova couldn't even get on the stage. In fact, he had to snatch the microphone and bum rush the stage.
That's true. He performed,
and they wouldn't turn the lights on for him. This year, he was coming out as a special guest. Yeah, salute to Casanova.
Killed it. Also, ASAP Ferg came out as my guest. He killed it as well. And shout out to the legend, the OG Busta Rhymes.
Oh, man, drop one of the Clues Bombs for Busta Bust.
My goodness.
Still busting these young boys' ass on stage.
And I'm glad that Charlamagne and Busta Rhymes made up.
Did y'all speak?
Ben spoke to Busta.
Okay.
I mean, we spoke last night, but I've been that was, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
4 or 5 years ago?
And shout out to T Grizzly. I had to...
Detroit's own.
What happened was Fetty Wap was supposed to come out on my set, and he missed his flight.
You should stop playing all Fetty Wap music. Especially your record. because he did that.
So he missed his flight, and he was in L.A. and couldn't make it, and that was a big part of my set. So I had to find somebody else to come out on my set. T. Grizzly was actually in Baltimore, so I had to fly him in. He had a show last night, and then private jet him out so he can make his show. And he did it. He ran on stage. He literally was in that building for about 10 minutes and then got back out of there. So I appreciate you, T. Grizzly. So
drop one of Clues Bombs for Cardi B, too, goddamn it.
Cardi B and the Migos actually previewed a new song featuring Nicki Minaj and Cardi B last night.
Yeah, I got it this morning, too, so we'll get that on this morning.
Good, because everybody wants to hear that song.
Oh, you got the record?
Yeah, I got the record.
And then I'm going to say I stayed because y'all left and the weekend went on last.
You know good and well.
They asked me, so me and Pro Style bought out.
Oh, that was nice.
The weekend, only issue we had was one of his security was acting really crazy. There was an incident. I'm not going to lie.
They should have went crazy. There was a young man backstage that was very annoying that nobody knew who he was with, and he tried to get in.
Well, that has nothing to do with my story.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My story is I introduced him when I was walking back to, Paris and L'Oreal, two of my friends with me, waiting on the side.
Right.
They had my bag and my stuff, and we were actually getting ready to leave, so... The security's like, get out of here. Everybody get out of here. But it's really just three of us girls. Then it turns into this whole big thing where I was like, all right, come on. We're out of here. We're leaving anyway. We walk into the steps. Somehow he pushes Paris to the floor.
Push what?
Yes. I watched him do it.
Okay.
One of the weekends. Yeah. So he pushes her on the floor. Then somebody throws L'Oreal's phone. And then they're like, get out, get out. And it's this one security guy. Yeah, it was.
Did Paris stay on the floor?
She was going crazy. So then she jumps up.
I got to teach Paris better now. You're supposed to lay on that floor. That way you can security push me. Oh God.
Especially if I got the credentials. I'm supposed to be back here. Now, I'm not going to lie. That wouldn't happen with me last night. I don't think Charlamagne either. Because we were about with 40 people last night.
And I had three people with me.
Put your hands on Uncle Charlotte if you want to now. Come on now.
We had 80 people. But
come on now.
It would have been nasty last night, boy.
Right. So next year I'm going to bring 80 people with me.
It would have been nasty if we'd have still been. Push to the ground like that.
Hell no.
Oh, yeah, so it was one of
they wouldn't have said that.
The weekend security. No, it was crazy.
Did they apologize after?
Give a damn about no weekend.
Because management apologized. The security was still acting like
I hold you accountable for your security.
I actually went back in and pointed him out to everybody so they know who he is. But I just think that if you have security and you're at an event, you as a security person, it's three women.
Right.
All you have to do is say, hey, listen, everybody has to clear the stage right now. It's just kind of it was fine.
It was supposed to be. I mean, I had an incident like that with Chance the
Rapper. But just be polite about it.
Okay, guys.
That's all.
Let's start the show, please. We can talk about instances later.
All right. Front page news, what are we talking about?
We are going to talk about a woman who got knocked out cold.
Paris?
It's not
and
funny.
What did people walking by do? Did they help? No.
All right.
And Pastor Carl Lentz and Keisha K.R. are on the show this
Keisha
morning.
Keisha K.R. will be joining us this morning. Also, Pastor Carl Lentz. All right? So let's get the show cracking. Front page news is next. It's Humble. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Hey, I can't believe we're really here on a Friday morning at the Powerhouse.
Nah, man.
Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, in sports, Thursday night football. This is so disrespectful. The Ravens beat the Dolphins 40-0. That is disrespectful.
Oh, my gosh.
That is disrespectful.
I don't give a damn.
It's none of my teams. No. Anyway, and the game three of the World Series is tonight between the Astros and the Dodgers. The series is tied 1-1. Now, what are we talking about, Yee?
Let's talk about a woman who was knocked out cold. And let me tell you what happened. This was in Pittsburgh. Now, there's surveillance video. It shows the moment that a man knocked her out on a busy sidewalk. Now, you would think somebody would stop to help. Somebody would call 911. But instead, the woman gets beaten and robbed by people who were there. And then they start taking selfies with her as she is unconscious on the ground.
Why? Who is this girl that they hate so much? This must be somebody they know, man.
They said the woman was a known drug addict who's been arrested several times in the past, mostly for illegal substances.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. This couldn't be some random woman. This had to be somebody the neighborhood knew.
But still, you still don't do. You take selfies with somebody
that's crazy, by a man on the sidewalk.
Yes, you're right.
And you rob her and go through her pockets.
But in
that's the dumbest thing ever. But they have surveillance video, so the people that actually did that, a group of men, they left, but then they come back.
You said she's a drug addict, though, right?
Yeah, she's a known drug.
She's probably a crackhead in the hood. They don't respect her. That's just all it boils down.
Still a person.
That's ridiculous.
I agree with you.
But disgusting.
Just telling you how they treat a crackhead in the hood.
All right, now tens of thousands of Puerto Rico residents are fleeing to Florida after Hurricane Maria. So far, more than 73,000 people have arrived in Florida, and they have agreed to host residents with the help of FEMA. So Brown University is also enrolling students from Puerto Rico tuition-free. They're enrolling up to 50 students from the University of Puerto Rico tuition-free after everything, after Hurricane Maria. And I have an update for you, Charlamagne, for somebody you gave Donkey of the Day to. That's the man who, in Brooklyn, left his girlfriend to die in a fiery car crash.
That was so disrespectful. So crazy.
Hitched a ride and got up out of there. Saeed Ahmad appeared in court, and he is now being charged with second-degree murder, second-degree vehicular manslaughter, leaving the scene of an accident, driving while intoxicated, and other counts. He has pleaded not guilty.
As he should be. Drop on the clues bombs to the judge and people that sentenced him are charging him.
Charging
him, yes, as he should be.
My goodness. All right. Well, that's front page news. Charlamagne, that's a pretty nice sweatshirt you got. I mean, it's Norfolk State. Shout out to the 757. That's pretty dope.
Well, salute to AACA Clothing, African American College Alliance Clothing. You know what I'm saying?
I never seen you wear anything so bright.
Norfolk State. No, that's the HBCU. Well, no.
Usually that's a great brand.
One. The HBCU, Norfolk State. Shout out to everybody, Norfolk State, the 757-804. You know, I got my Hampton on, though. But all right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you upset.
I already know what a lot of these calls are going to be.
Maybe you pissed off, or maybe you just want to spread some positivity. 800-585-1051 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
It's Butterfly from Daisy.
Hey,
Butterfly.
What up? Hey, Angie.
Hey, Boo.
What's up? Butterfly, what's
hey,
up,
Butterfly?
How y'all doing? I wanted to go and say good morning. And it's Freaky Freaky Friday, so I want to tell y'all a joke.
Maybe
one or two.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, you know why women close their eyes when they're having sex with men?
Why?
Because they hate to see an N-word happy. All right. When I tell you these jokes, don't let them fly over your head, okay?
Okay. Give us another one.
One more. Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. Y'all know the characters. They was hanging out on the ass right here by the studio. And shots broke out. And Mickey got hit. Donald Duck. All right, I'll tell you another one.
Oh, that was a joke? Okay.
All right, baby.
Can't get it?
You got another one, or are you done?
Yeah, I got another one. You want it?
The last one. Come on.
Okay. Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse was getting a divorce. They went in front of the judge. The judge said to Mickey, you've been with Minnie for this many years. Why would you divorce her now? Mickey Mouse looked at Minnie and said, Judge, she's been goofing around. And mind you, he shook his head at the judge to make him believe him.
Okay.
You know what?
All right, yo. Butterfly, I'm going to tell you something. Those jokes are more like a caterpillar. They're not developed fully into a butterfly yet. But God bless you, and we love you, okay?
Thank you, and I'm blessed.
My goodness. Have a good
morning.
Good morning. Friday, freaky Friday.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Child Support Guy.
Child Support Guys, get it off your chest.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to call and say, you know what I'm saying, thank you to my baby mamas who put me on child support, but now I'm free. And I also want to say I'm upset because a friend of mine, you know what I'm saying, he's been fighting child support as well as myself. And like 6 months ago, he got freed from child support. And then I found out that, you know, my homeboy passed away, man. You know, I just want to say that it's messed up how child support can ruin people's life, man. A lot of people don't understand how these women take advantage of child support and use.
Now, hold on. You said your man passed away, but how do we know that had to do with child support?
What you mean? He suffered, man. That man suffered all his life, Charlamagne.
So you trying to say he died because he was on child support?
That's exactly what he said.
How did he die? What was the cause of death? What did the doctor say?
It was cancer, but listen.
Oh, man, if you don't get on my phone, hang up on him right now.
All right.
I don't want to talk to this guy no more. It was cancer, but child support killed him. Shut up.
The stress of child support.
I don't want to hear that.
All right. Well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. And don't forget, next hour, Keisha K. Y'all will be joining us. And also this morning, Pastor Carl Lentz. But, Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about Tyrese. His ex has some claims against him. And we'll tell you why he says that it was a funeral.
Okay. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors.
It's Friday!
We got to talk Tyrese.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Tyrese is really going through it right now. Now, he was in court. His ex-wife is trying to get a permanent restraining order against him to keep him away from her and from their 10-year-old daughter they share together, Shayla. Now, Norma Gibson took the stand. She said Tyrese has been harassing her since 2014 and also having somebody follow her. He said he's been having somebody follow her, a private investigator, because she was dating a drug addict. That was the reason why. Now, they asked her if she's afraid of him, and she said at times. He also said that he allegedly punched her while she was pregnant, and that three of Tyrese's people met with her afterward and got her to sign an agreement not to talk about it. She said she did sign that agreement because she didn't want to ruin his career at the time.
That sounds like an old Suge Knight death row tactic.
Now, Tyrese is saying all of this is not true. She really is just upset that he's moved on, gotten remarried. He said he hasn't seen his daughter in over 60 days and wants to get this resolved quickly just so he can see his daughter. Now, his ex-wife, Norma, claims that he actually put his hands on their daughter and grabbed her hands with one arm, beat her with the other between 12 and 16 times,
what?
And that he hit her so hard on her bottom she couldn't sit. Now, Tyrese says he only hit her once on her bottom. So,
and you should be able to discipline your child, right? A little pop.
Tyrese started crying in the courtroom when he found out that Norma wants to take their daughter to Israel for 3 to 4 days to meet Norma's grandmother as well. Now, he went to court dressed in all black.
Okay.
And he told TMZ this.
And so today I'm wearing black because today I witnessed the death of a dialogue with accusations of abuse, accusations that I had someone following her. I am here for one child and one person only, Shayla Gibson, my one and only child. I got nothing to lose. I'm going all out, and God has the outcome.
Drop on the glue bomb for Tyrese. I'm so tired of Tyrese wasting his time and his talents on action movies when drama is clearly where he needs to be.
Stop it, man. That's his baby girl.
Then also checked himself into the hospital last night. He said he had bad chest pains.
Now, listen. Tyrese was leaving the courthouse to say he had chest pains.
Right.
He got a broken heart, man.
He said he started having a pain. He said he felt dehydrated as well, so he went to the ER. He's getting fluids for dehydration. He's undergoing some tests to find out why he's having chest pains. Now, he did post and delete. Now, he posted, I guess, the wristband they give you when you're in the hospital.
So now he's supposed to give a name.
Amazing.
He's supposed to give you a name when you go to the hospital. What name did Tyrese give?
It says Father, Black. So I guess the name he gave was Black Father.
Tyrese, I didn't believe you until y'all showed me the screenshot. Tyrese checked into the hospital and told him that his name was Black Father. That is what is on his medical wristband.
Now, he said, guys, me and my family appreciate your prayers and outpouring of love to my friends and family. Please stop texting and calling for now.
Drop one of clues, Bob, for Tyrese. Listen, you can say a lot of things about Tyrese. He's always been a good father. He's always been fighting for that little girl. But
absolutely.
If Tyrese would just stop taking himself so seriously and let me produce a Curb Your Enthusiasm-style reality show starring him, it would be the funniest thing on television.
All right, now let's talk about Powerhouse last night. Big deal. The Migos previewed a brand new song, and Cardi B was there as well. She actually had performed before the Migos got on stage, and then she came back out for this announcement. Apparently, the Migos have a song with Nicki Minaj and Cardi B on the song. So they previewed a snippet of that. Here it is. All right. So
I'm here for that.
We can't wait to hear the whole thing. Maybe we'll hear it this morning.
I'm here for that.
I should have it. They said they sent it, but I didn't see it in my email. Also, I think they said that Kanye West is allegedly EP in the album.
The Culture 2 album?
Yeah.
I did see something like that.
Right, yeah, they said they have a very exciting person.
Executive producing it.
Not that they were talking to Honey German last night. I think she got that out of him.
All right.
We have, what's Cardi snippet?
Wonder how Kanye can enhance the Migos.
Well, here's Cardi's part on the song, because she came out during this.
Okay. I wonder how Kanye could enhance the Migos. I don't see it, but I'm interested to hear what it sounds like.
We're very interested in hearing it. And here's one last thing I got to tell you for this rumor report. Access denied. All right.
What happened? Envy closed his butt?
Y'all better stay out my DMs, too.
Stay out your butt, too, okay?
Do not enter. All right, Kendu Isaacs, he won $65,000 in spousal support. That request has been denied. So he's already getting $30,000 a month. A judge says that he just is not, his reputation is not destroyed from Mary J. Blige putting out her music. He's already getting $30,000 a month. Just relax.
I agree. They need to cut that in half, by the way.
Well, hopefully. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. When we come back, Keisha Kayor will be joining us. Now, that's Gucci Mane's wife.
Gucci Mane's queen.
Mm-hmm.
I see her on the show. What's the name of the show? The Wopsters?
The Wops?
No, that's not the name of the show.
Main Event?
Main Event.
Yes. All right, so we'll kick it with Keisha Kayor when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
WWPR FM HD1 New York.
And iHeart Radio Station.
What up, what up? Wake that ass up.
DJ Envy,
Angela Yee,
and I go by the name of Charlamagne the God.
Slowly realizing that this wasn't no dream.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne the God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, sir.
Keisha Kayor.
Yes.
You look like money.
Thank you.
Like a real bag of money.
I'm gonna ask you a question. Somebody texted me yesterday. My homegirl literally texted me this yesterday. She's from Charleston, South Carolina. 4:49 p.m. You think it's possible that the Wopsters may have possibly single-handedly saved a black family?
You have to answer that question, Charlamagne.
I said J and B, but she said people respect ghetto love more. Yeah. I said, well, J from the ghetto, from what we know, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I get what she's trying to say.
They could relate to it more probably because of his whole background and things like that. That's what I'm thinking.
All right.
Now, tell us how you guys met, first of all. Let's start early. How did you meet Gucci Mane?
Okay, Gucci was locked up. It was 2009, 2010, and he saw me in the XXL magazine. Mm-hmm. I was Eye Candy Model of the Year, and he reached out to me, and I was like, who is this girl?
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming out next week. I got this video I want to shoot. Make sure you book her. So Amina reached out to me, and I was like, I don't want to do no video because I didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, long story short, she booked me. I did the video. We met, and that's how it all started.
And I read Gucci's book. He said when he first saw you, he told you, you're going to be my wife.
He did.
Now, a lot of times guys say that just because that's good game to say.
Right. I didn't believe him, obviously, mm-hmm. you know. And I judged him based on how people perceived him from the internet. I was like, whatever. But the guy was charming. He was a gentleman. He opened the door. He held my hand. And I was like so shocked and so surprised.
Now, you weren't scared at first because we called Gucci Mane the boogeyman of hip-hop. Especially back then. You weren't a little terrified?
I wasn't scared of him at all. Not mm-hmm. at all, because he didn't show me that.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw that side of him. Like I said, I saw it on the internet. But when I met the guy, I was like, he's so different.
Mm.
The Gucci you guys are seeing today, that's the Gucci I've met.
Gotcha.
That charming person.
Now, we heard rumors when he got locked up, he gave you
$2 million.
$2 million.
And you flipped it to six.
And you flipped it to six. Is there truth to that?
Yeah, there's truth to it. He gave me some money and he came home to a lot more.
What was you doing? You were selling dope too? Or what were you?
Nah. Nah, I wasn't no dope dealer. You know, I invested the money. I started some businesses, and everything I did, I spoke to him about it, and he was like, go for it. And I did it, and it worked out.
So that was the cosmetics line, the waist trainers, right?
My cosmetic line I had in 2009, 2010. Gucci got locked in 2013. Mm-hmm. So, no, it didn't have anything to do with the cosmetics. I started the waist trainer when he got locked up.
Now, what made you wait? I mean, he was in and out of jail a lot of the time that I was dealing with you, but that was a little long stretch. What made you say, you know what, I'm going to hold him down?
Honestly, I felt like it was the worst time for him. Like, he was looking at about 20 years. We wasn't sure how much time he was going to get. And in my heart, I couldn't walk away from him.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he needed me not only to just support him, but he needed guidance. And I felt like I had to be there for this man to make him a better person.
Gotcha. Now, do you have three kids in Jamaica? That's what inquiring minds want to know as well.
Absolutely not. And I'm glad you asked me that, Charlamagne, because I came to America when I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are thinking, oh, from what I've seen on the internet, she came here when she was 17, 18, left all the kids in Jamaica to be with this rapper guy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely false.
They said it was your sister that said that. Your sister that started that rumor.
You said you don't have a sister.
I don't have a sister. Yeah. I don't have a sister. Tanya and I were friends. And I'm, you know what I mean? Straight up. You know, we all refer to each other as sis, but she's not my sister.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she was the one that kind of created this rumor, you believe, allegedly.
Honestly, I don't think Tanya started it. We've been told that the day we got married, that blogs were being paid to discredit our wedding, to discredit me, and to discredit our marriage.
Mm.
Because if you notice, it spiraled while we were getting married on the TV.
Right.
Who would want to pay blogs for that, though?
People are evil, Angela. You just don't know. It's so bad.
I know.
They are
Envy's
evil.
Envy's going through something right now.
Oh, you didn't hear about Envy scandal?
Oh, I did. Okay. I did. But I didn't believe it. Like, I'm the type of person, like,
Did you believe it a little bit?
No, because he's married.
What does that mean?
I didn't believe it. And then I'm listening to his response, and he's like, he's calm and he's laughing. Usually when people get upset and they lying.
Right.
The man ain't lying.
He got upset behind the scenes.
I don't believe you, Charlamagne. You think that having your wedding on television did make you like, because what happens is when people see that, obviously people want to go ahead and try to like make the worst out of anything and bring up all kinds of claims and, you know.
Absolutely.
It's kind of a miserable time for other people.
And I'm like, God damn, we were just your relationship goals yesterday.
Yeah, now we
get married today. All y'all coming for me with these abandoned children in Jamaica, and they photoshopped four kids with Gucci in the middle. It was so bad. I'm like, what the hell? Can I enjoy my husband for a couple hours before y'all start with me?
Well, how many kids do you have?
Gucci and I both have children.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, we do. And it's a situation where I am proud to be a mother, but at the same time, I need it to be private. I don't want the kids in the limelight. I don't want them on social media. I need them to go to school and to just be children. You know, it's never a situation where they're left with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
They all live with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a blended family, and we have fun, and they spoiled and they happy.
And yeah, then Gucci talked about his son in the book.
They were all at the wedding.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's how it went at first. Oh, she left the kids can't eat. No, absolutely false.
And you say you left Jamaica at 10, so I don't think you was popping that poom poom that early.
Not at all. Yeah. People them wicked. Jesus.
I didn't know you was really Jamaican.
No. Now I'm Jamaican.
When I heard them say that,
before?
I was like, no, I just haven't. And then when I heard them say three kids left in Jamaica, why she had three kids in Jamaica? They said she's from Jamaica, but no. You really Jamaican.
I'm really
You know
Jamaican.
How to cook oxtail and jerk chicken and
oh,
all that
Oh, that's how
stuff?
I got the man.
Uh-huh.
The food.
That's why Gucci had that big stomach back in the day, huh?
Nah, that was lame. Straight up.
Now, there was also rumors that Gucci didn't invite his mom or his brother or something like that.
Mom and his brother weren't invited.
His oldest brother was our best man at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
His mom and his younger brother was not there, but y'all got to ask Gucci about that one.
Listen, I think family's overrated. All right? I don't be caring about stuff like that. When I hear them stories, I'd be like, okay, and?
I feel like that, too. Sometimes you have family and you'll have a friend and you're closer to the friend than you are your family.
Yes.
It doesn't mean anything, you know? But
like the family, how you and Gucci got married and y'all, like, y'all decided, y'all made those choices.
We did. And at our wedding, we wanted everyone at our wedding to be positive. We didn't want any negativity there. We didn't want anyone that didn't truly love us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't care about anyone else's feelings but our own. It's our wedding. We are allowed to be selfish on that day, and we wanted our ceremony to be filled with love. That's what a wedding is. It's about love.
All right, we got more with Keisha KO when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Keisha KR in the building. Charlamagne?
Jeez, why'd y'all show the wedding first and then show what happened leading up to it afterwards?
Well, BET came up with that idea, and we kind of went along with it because, as you know, 1017 is a big day for Gucci. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's not dropping an album, it's a mixtape, a concert, something for his fans. So we wanted the fans to be a part of the wedding, and then BET also thought it would be cool to show the wedding. But also the two finales is the entire wedding. That wasn't the entire wedding. It was just us walking.
Gotcha.
You have the reception, you have the lead up, mm-hmm. it's so much more.
What was the most expensive gift that you got, the most lavish gift? Because I seen checks, I seen diamonds.
Cars.
My car, the Wraith.
The Wraith was it?
But yeah. From the guests.
I mean, from the guests.
Oh, from the guests. Oh, this necklace here. And Pierre bought it.
Who was Pierre? Oh, P from Chewy.
Yeah, okay. So I got the key and Gucci got the lock.
Oh, I saw they posted that.
Yeah.
And he gave y'all a $100,000 check, ain't
he? He sure did.
Well, are y'all friends rich?
You got rich friends too, Charlamagne.
I do. After, they don't give me nothing.
After this docuseries of the wedding, are you guys going to do more television? Or are you like, all right?
At this point, I don't know. You know, everybody has this stuff with reality shows, but if it's something I do decide to do, Gucci and I will come to a decision together. I know he ain't doing it. It would just be
mm-hmm.
me. But I haven't thought. I want to see how this works first before I get caught up into all that stuff.
So what do you think, would you say, are that some of the positives and what are some of the negatives of having your wedding on television?
The positive is you get to share it with people and they, you know, you put them in your world for that moment. The negativity was the hate. It was so much hate behind it, I was really shocked.
Really?
I didn't expect it. I knew the hate would come, but not the day of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, people are being paid to discredit us and to just do these evil things. But at the end of the day, I can't even front. I'm not, like, hurt and terrified. It's okay. If you got the bashes or do whatever you want, go ahead. Because our union is so strong. You know, we've been through the worst. It can't get no worse than that man being in a maximum security prison. This ain't jail, Charlamagne. Mm-hmm. He was in a real prison where they even took me to the bathroom one day to strip search me. It's so strict. That's the biggest prison in Terre Haute. Like, if you're going to get the chair, that's where you go.
Mm.
You know, so it was rough. So we inmates were dying every day. I would call down there and can't even get Gucci, and the response is, he ain't dead, he good, but he can't talk to you right now.
Damn.
Like, it was rough. So the little belittling and all the hate that they're doing to us, it doesn't compare. So we went through hell and back, and we're okay. So keep hating if you need to.
Why do you think Kaya was so upset? She took it really personal.
What was crazy about that? I don't know Kaya. I didn't know anything about her until that day. I mean, of course, I heard of my neck, my back, but I was shocked. I'm like, what did I do to you? But I heard that she doesn't like Trina. So I'm wondering if it's because she saw Trina in the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not sure. What did I do to you, ma'am, for you to come at me like this? The kids suffering and never. And what's weird is my family in Jamaica are so upset because I take care of all of them.
Mm.
You know, I feed them. I build them houses, buy them cars, take care of my little cousins. And they're like, they're so angry.
You know what
so
that means?
Oh, they
mad. That means voodoo. Roots.
Oh, no, we don't do
chicken that. Bones about to be buried. Girl's going to start losing edges for no reason. Kaya's about to lose all her edges, and she's not going to know
why. We don't do no voodoo, Charlotte.
They don't do voodoo.
That's what Kaya said. She said voodoo, put voodoo on the man.
Well, it was some good voodoo. I mean, man, you said something interesting. You said the Gucci that we see now, you always knew. What do you think made him finally reveal that to the world?
I feel like he's a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided he wanted to change his life. You don't have to walk around upset every day anymore. You're okay. You're happy. It's okay to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told him, I said, it's okay for me to love you. Allow me to love you. Because a lot of time you have these gangsters, they going through, but they don't share it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I kind of like broke it down to him. Like, I love you. You need to come home to me. And I want you to be a better person for yourself in order for you to be a better man for me. And we just spoke every day about it until I saw, you know, people are like, oh, it's jail talk. But I'm like, I see it. This man is changing. And when he came home, it was confirmation.
But in the book, it was a couple of times you left him because you were a little fed up. Like, he talked about, like, after that Twitter rant that he went on, you put him on ice.
Yeah, I mean,
tell us about that day, because that was a crazy day and crazy morning.
I was shocked that I saw him going through his rant, but I didn't expect him to come for me.
Right.
Because I was the angel. I'm like the baby.
Right.
When he did that, I'm like, what is wrong with you? You know, and he started screaming on the phone and I hung up the phone. But immediately after, he was like, I'm so sorry, I love you. But then 2 days after that, he went to prison.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just going through so much, right. You know, and I honestly felt like that sentence changed him.
Were you surprised so many people forgave him?
No, because they know he was going through it. I forgave him immediately. Mm-hmm. I think everything he didn't really do it intentionally.
Yeah, I mean, in his book, he's very open, I mean, about the drug use and how he just was out of his mind.
Like, he was, the lean. Mm-hmm. You know, and what's crazy is I've never seen him take the lean. He would hide it from me. Nothing he did, he showed it to me.
Really?
Nothing. Never seen him drink the lean. I mean, I knew he was doing it. But he respected me so much that he hid all that stuff from me because I am not that woman that's going to sit and watch you just damage your life. I'm going to be like, you can't do this. This mm-hmm. isn't right. You know, so I feel like that's another reason why he respects me so much more because it's like I tell him, I'm not a yes man to him. You got to do better, babe. I love you. Fix this for you, please.
Now, a lot of people talk about how jail doesn't rehab people.
Yeah.
Do you feel like for Gucci it was kind of, actually, maybe in the end of everything, a positive thing for him because it did get him off the drugs, have him sit down, think about his life some more, and come out as a better person?
Absolutely. You know, he's been locked up several times, and it didn't rehab him before, but it did this time. Like I said, this was serious, Angela. It wasn't you just going to Fulton County Jail. Mm-hmm. You're in a maximum security prison. Inmates are dying every day. You're facing 20 years, you have your career, you have your woman at home. Which is it?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, now you have to choose. And I felt we prayed so much and asked God to help us. And we feel like God answered all our prayers. And your return favor is to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's really what happened.
Now, y'all are a unit. What does Gucci have that you don't have? And what do you have that he doesn't have? Like, what do y'all add to each other to make yourselves a complete unit?
Well, Gucci's super intelligent, and he's super smart. So am I. I think we both just bring everything to the table. We have a household of two incomes. You know, I do everything for him as a wife should do. I cook. I pack his bags. I clean up. I feel like everything as a man he should do, he does, and everything as a wife should do, I do. So we just, it makes it even better.
Good West Indian woman.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I take care of my man, honey. Yes, and I wash his back if I need to.
All right, we got more with Keisha KO. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Keisha KO in the building. Now, Charlamagne?
Now, people say that it's easy to forgive a man when he's well off, Keisha. Like, if he was to, God forbid, do some dirt with another woman, would it be easy to forgive because he is Gucci man?
Not this woman. You know, like I said, I love Gucci, but I'm not gonna sit there and allow anyone to disrespect me because he's Gucci.
Yeah.
No, I have morals and principles, and I'm a woman, I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, and I have to respect myself. So in order for a man to respect you, you gotta respect yourself. So no, I'm not gonna sit there and allow him to do anything because of who he is.
But you know we're retarded sometimes. Men can be a little retarded. Sometimes we have a little lapse in judgment. You know what I'm saying? If we make one little mistake.
But he made a lot of mistakes. You're supposed to learn from him.
Yeah,
and
he has. He has. And I trust him so much now. I don't even have to worry about anything.
Sometimes you got to go through a lot.
You have to.
Mm-hmm. How do you know when to trust a man? Like, how do you know when a man is completely changed and rehabilitated and you know he's doing right by you?
You feel it. That woman intuition. Like, you know. Like, even if he's on the road and I'm not there, I don't have to get up and think, he working, he good. And that's what a marriage is. Like, if you don't feel that way, don't even get married.
Or now is there a prenuptial agreement in place?
No.
There's not?
No, we don't need none. I mean, if the man trusts me with his whole life and all his money and all of that, then what we need a prenup?
That's real. He went to jail and left you the bread, yeah.
All of it. Everything. Everything, his cars, everything.
And after that, that was after knowing him for how long? How long were you together?
2009, 2010.
Oh, 2 years.
Yeah.
But even for you,
no, not 2 years. It was longer than that. But what's crazy is in the beginning of it, when he wanted to give me all of his money, I said, I don't want it.
Mm.
He wanted to give me so much money. He's like, babe, I'm away. I want you to. I said, I don't want it.
Why didn't you want it?
Because I didn't need it, first of all. I was doing so well for myself. One, two, I'm not here for your money.
Mm-hmm.
You're locked up. Again, we didn't know how much time he was going to get. I wanted to secure him and make sure he would be okay for however long time he was going to get. So I didn't take a dollar. I didn't want it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, but even for you, you got money. You don't want to have a prenuptial to protect your interests?
True. And, you know, my mom talked to me about it, too. But, like, again, it's like what we've been through and how our finances is set up now, it wouldn't even make sense. It would be like, what's the purpose?
BET said y'all putting the honeymoon on hold.
Yeah, you are so Jamaican, yo. She is West
Super
Indian.
Jamaican. I have no idea. You got to hear that. I would love to hear. I got to hear her and Gucci have a conversation. Can you imagine her and Gucci arguing?
No. Y'all never heard her talk
before. No, I promise I've never heard you talk all of these years.
So you didn't watch the special or nothing?
I did watch the special.
She talks
but like, I can't, but like, a lot of people hasn't really heard me speak. If they're not like my day one fans, mm-hmm. and have me on Snapchat, and when I act silly, they don't, and they just follow me on Instagram, they don't hear me speak. They're just now hearing my accent for the first time.
You were on The Real, co-hosting The Real?
But that was recently.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about all the past stuff. But about, back to your honeymoon question, Gucci's on tour.
Mm.
And this goes to be that whole traditional wife again. Am I upset that we're not on a honeymoon? No, I don't care about that stuff. You're on tour, you working. I'm going to come on tour with you. We could honeymoon on tour, or we do it later. And we're to the point, seriously, we're so tired of hotels. We just want to be home.
Right.
We don't even want to fly all over the world and be in somebody's hotel. We love our house, we love our bed, and we rather honeymoon in the bedroom.
Now, how do y'all maintain such good shape if you like to cook all the Jamaican food?
Well, I don't cook that food every day.
Okay.
I probably cook like that. When we're in Atlanta, I usually do it on Sundays. Mm-hmm. That used to be our day. But from Monday through Saturday, oh, no. Salads and fruits, we don't play that game.
Right. Mm-hmm. So y'all do have a strict diet?
Yes, I make sure we have a strict diet, and we work out 5 to 6 days a week.
How do you have a strict diet with those kids? And you're Jamaican?
Discipline. Mm. Discipline. I literally cook the food and don't even eat it. Mm. Because it took me a while to get here, though. This wasn't nothing new. Like, I've been working out for, like, 5 years, but when Gucci got locked up, that's when I changed my whole diet. I got so skinny and obsessed with it till I looked sick, seriously, and I had to, like, catch myself.
Mm-hmm.
So now I finally understand my body and finally understand what I can eat to maintain my weight. It took a while, but I got it now.
Hey, Gucci said something in the book I'm still trying to figure out. He said when he was in jail, y'all used to get up and work out together.
Yeah. They have a time where they get up every morning. Mm-hmm. So let's say it's 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a whole schedule mm-hmm. together. So I would get up the same time with him. I would take the kids to school, come back home, work out. He's working out the same time. He shower, I shower. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, he calls. We talk about our workout. We talk about our lunch. And we did that every day. Yeah, every day. So his time would go by faster. And so he's not, like, I did all of that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
To get his mind focused. I didn't want him in there to getting any trouble, to getting more time. So I kind of just did all those things. And I would, you know, fly down there to see him. And we sit in visitation for 5-6 hours. And I just sit there with him.
And you could tell he was really working out because you saw him losing the weight.
Man, the first 2 months he lost like 40 pounds because he was detoxing.
Mm-hmm.
All that stomach was lean. It wasn't even fat.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to get off lean.
Because they're constipated.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go to the bathroom.
Yeah, he talked about that in the book. Yeah.
Yeah, so all of that was constipation, 40 pounds. Because he went in like 290. And then the other 50, he had to work hard for that.
So what good Jamaican remedy would you give him when he was constipated?
He wouldn't, like I said, he wouldn't tell me. He wouldn't tell me. He was hiding all of this from me. Like, and when I would be at the house in Atlanta and I'm coming over, this is stuff he's told me now. He said he would pour the lean in fruit punch to trick me. And I'm like, well, what if I tasted it?
Bill Cosby.
Oh, no.
Did you learn a lot when you read the book that you didn't know?
I knew everything. And he was writing the book from jail, and he would mail me the sheets because I heard someone say he didn't write his book. That's absolutely false. He wrote page by... Even if you read it, you see it's in his own language, mm-hmm. his own words. He wrote that book page by page and mailed it, and then I would mail it to the people to print it up in the book.
Were you ever concerned, like, when he was in the street that people would come after you because they knew you were, like, the closest person to him?
No. Growing up in Jamaica, I witnessed my dad being murdered.
Mm.
So...
What part of Jamaica? Kingston?
St. Thomas.
St. Thomas.
So, and that's another reason why I'm so protective over the children.
Mm-hmm.
Because his own friends set him up to be murdered. So I kind of been through that life. So... I understand him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing he did scared me. I was never scared of him. Even when sometimes he's going through it, I would fly to Atlanta and be like, yo, what's wrong with you? Talk to me. You know, I don't fear that type of stuff because I seen it as a young child growing up, and I just want to always protect him. Sometimes I feel like I'm his security, knowing I can't do nothing. Like, if people come at him, I'm like, you know, but no.
So you saw your father get killed in front of you?
Yeah, he was coming home one night, and they were outside waiting in the bushes for him to walk in, and they shot him in his head. So we were inside.
How old were you?
Then.
Damn.
We left Jamaica a week later after that.
Because y'all was scared for the rest of the family? Or?
Both. My mom was like, we got to go. We can't stay here. He was wealthy. Mm-hmm. So they would rob him and, you know, just, and they finally murdered him.
How did you get over that trauma? Or have you?
I'm over it. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. Gucci reminds me so much of him. So it's like everything that Gucci has done in the past, I forgive him. I'm cool with it. Like, if somebody do something to you and you have to defend yourself, then you got to defend yourself.
We look forward to seeing more of the show, and we appreciate you for joining us.
Yeah, I'm ready for you to write a book. I want to hear more.
I want to write one, too, because my life is very interesting.
All right, Keisha K.R.
There you have it. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Chris Brown.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee.
Rumor has it.
Now, Chris Brown has gone on Instagram, and he's saying he wants his respect. He said, take it how you want, but due to the fact I have to defend myself for winning is a damn shame. I am bringing Briss back. My music will forever speak for me, so anyone who think I'm finna keep letting y'all try to make an issue out of love needs to take several seats. I came to New York for a great free concert. I'm finally say this ish. I'm the best out of all these artists, and I will not allow these... And I will not allow you broke following need a hook from Chris Brown so y'all records pop to say otherwise. Y'all better start showing some effing respect and act right. I make music for people who like my ish. And obviously, everybody need a hook or a song but me from anyone. Three platinum singles before my album, I direct, edit, vocal arrange, and make you hate me because I'm the effing best. So do yourself a favor, actually get a work ethic and grind because I'm an out-hustle rap and sing better than all you scared industry N-words. I've been here before. A lot of y'all N-words even knew about real music. Not nay one of y'all can see me and you actually truly know it.
Well, Chris Brown is absolutely right. Nobody is denying Chris Brown's talent, and we don't want Chris Brown to deny that he has a substance abuse problem. So he should get better and become the best Chris Brown that he could possibly be.
We actually saw Chris Brown perform in Boston.
Yep.
Me and Evie, he actually did a great job.
And we actually spoke to him after, too, yeah.
Yeah. So
killed it.
I want him to be his best as well.
Yes, mm-hmm. That means
he's super talented. Man, when I was watching this documentary, remember when he performed and he did the Michael Jackson tribute, Man in the Mirror?
Yep.
And he broke down on stage crying. That was like his first return to the stage after all of the allegations.
Well, that's what he needed to do now. He needed to look in the mirror.
That was an incredible performance.
He needed to look in the mirror and face his demons.
I teared up while I was watching it.
And become the best Chris Brown that he could possibly be.
All right, Corey Feldman is planning to expose the Hollywood pedophile ring. He wants to do a movie, and he's putting together a campaign. He's trying to crowdfund $10 million over 2 months so he can finance his project. Now, he said he wants to dismantle a pedophile ring that he was introduced to as a child in the 80s. He wants to expose and dismantle that pedophile ring. Here's what he had to say.
I propose to do this by making a film that'll be the most honest and true depiction of child abuse ever portrayed by telling my own story in a very real way with no editing, no censorship, no studio behind it. I will make the film, I'll direct the film, I'll produce the film, and I will self-distribute it to guarantee that it gets a theatrical release.
So we got to wait until you do a whole movie for you to tell us about this goddamn pedophile ring?
Well, he's been talking about it.
Give us the name. Tell us the location.
But a lot of people were shutting him down, even when he was on.
Go to the police, give them the name and the location of the pedophile ring and get the pedophile ring shut down. What you mean?
And also for legal purposes, for saying people's names, he said this before, for legal purposes, he couldn't name.
But if this is still going on.
He had a book out and everything.
Is it still going on?
This guy just said he's going to do a whole movie about it, self-distribute it, and make it to get so he can get it in the theaters.
So we will see what happens. But then he talks, and he so far has raised over $130 million for this. Now here's what else he had to say about what happened since all his allegations have been brought to light.
Ever since I discussed the fact that I had this plan, my life has turned into utter chaos. You can probably tell by the sound of my voice. Just over the past few days since I made that announcement, I've been arrested. I had a near-death experience last night where I felt like I was almost going to be killed. Two trucks came speeding at me at the same time on a crosswalk. And then several of my band members decided to quit because they're afraid for their lives.
Wow. Well, we'll see what happens if this really is going to go down.
All I know is integrity is choosing your thoughts and actions based on values rather than personal gain. It sounds to me like he's trying to get personal gain off this by saying he's going to put it in a movie and self-distribute it and make it go to theaters. Tell us what's going on now. Break up the pedophile ring now.
And you said 31 million is 31,000.
Oh, I thought he said, okay, he wrote this, 131,000.
Right.
Oh, no, this is just 31,000?
Whatever it is 31,000, not 31,000. Right.
31,000, okay. What I miss?
He raised $131,000 so far.
Who?
Corey Feldman.
He said 131 million is 131,000.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Missy. Charlamagne.
Yes, sir.
You're giving your donkey too.
Hey, man. Let's talk about Powerhouse last night. Let's talk about the mess that happened outside. Mm-hmm. Why not? Four after the hour. I need the people who tried to rush the door of the Barclays Center and, you know, spoiled it for everybody else to come in front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with them, please.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Hey, donkey of the day. For Friday, October 27th, goes to all the bad apples that spoiled the bunch yesterday at Powerhouse here in Brooklyn, New York. First of all, salute to everybody who had legitimate tickets, people who spent their hard-earned money to come see The Weeknd, French Montana, the Migos, Cardi B, and a person I really enjoyed watching perform last night, Lil Uzi Vert. Drop on the clues bombs for everybody who had real tickets, okay?
Oh, you ain't gonna say my name? I ain't performed last night.
I missed
you
your set.
Did you say DJ Envy and Friends? We bought him out on the set. There's no way you missed it.
How you missed my set?
Oh, you did. You bought out 9.5 artists. Who you bought out? You bought out
ASAP Ferg.
Casanova, yes. ASAP Ferg, T-Grizzly, and Busta Rhymes.
We missing some inches. Okay. Listen.
This guy.
I just can't stand when positive energy is ruined by negative energy, and that's what happened last night. And, actually, it's happened the past few years. Now, last night, I'm sitting in the lounge with our guy, Doc Winters, dropping the clues bombs for Doc Winters, damn it, and we start getting texts and calls from people telling us they won't let anybody in the building. I'm like, that's strange. So one of my people asked me, did something happen inside of the building? Well, like, I'm like, I don't know.
They wouldn't let anyone out either.
Yeah, and of course, like clockwork, my anxiety kicks in, okay? You know, slight anxiety attack because I start thinking of that Ariana Grande concert that got bombed. Oh, I'm a hypochondriac like that, okay? I am absolutely one of those people who hears those kinds of stories and think that could happen at any time at any concert in America. Then after asking some questions about why they wouldn't let anyone in, like Angela Yee said, I found out they wouldn't let anyone out. Now my anxiety really kicks in. Now I'm thinking, is it a lone gunman in the venue? When my anxiety kicks in,
what is wrong with you?
Listen, I start thinking every worst case scenario possible, okay? But thankfully it wasn't that, all right? It was bad, but not that tragic. Let's go to NBC 4 New York for the report, please.
Chaos at the Barclays Center when a group of people without tickets tried to force their way into a sold-out concert. Power 105.1's Powerhouse show was playing at the venue. Mm-mm. As a safety precaution. Representatives with the Barclays Center say they closed the doors while security worked to disperse that crowd you see there. Those who had tickets to tonight's show and could not get in will receive a refund.
Fans without tickets tried to storm inside the Barclays Center. First of all, Brooklyn will always be Brooklyn. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Brooklyn, damn it. Okay.
Shout out to Brooklyn.
That's not a reason to shout Brooklyn out.
I'm just saying.
Where's Brooklyn at?
Rushing the door when you can't get in is so Brooklyn, okay? Now, I was in South Carolina watching MOP videos. All right? But come on, man. You can't make it bad for everybody else who actually paid to get in, all right? See, it's cause and effect. People with no tickets try to rush the door. Now police have to react to them. In order to react to them, you got to shut the venue down to regain control. Then the people who actually paid for tickets have to suffer because of the actions of the knuckleheads who didn't. Now everybody is agitated and everybody gets rowdy, and now you just got a mess, period. I understand why everyone is upset, but in this case, the people who should be the most upset are the people who actually had tickets, okay? Now, I don't know what exactly happened with the Barclays security and police officers. I wasn't out there, but I do know that people were pepper sprayed, so I don't know why the NYPD is saying no one was pepper sprayed when EMS is reporting they treated people for being pepper sprayed.
Our interns got some pepper spray in her eye.
Yes, she did.
Wow.
Yes, she did. Let's go to ABC 7NY for the report, please.
Music fans caused quite a scene outside the Barclays Center when a crowd rushed the doors during a sold-out hip-hop concert. A Barclays spokesperson says a group of fans without tickets tried to force their way into the show, which featured musicians including The Weeknd, Migos, French Montana, and Cardi B. Witnesses we spoke to say pepper spray was used on that crowd, but the NYPD says it did not use pepper spray. EMS did treat two people for burns to their eyes.
Well, somebody used pepper spray. So if somebody that actually had pepper spray in their eye tells me that the police pepper sprayed them, I'm going to believe them. And I think it's a damn shame that in order to regain control of the venue, the people who got pepper sprayed probably didn't deserve the pepper spray, but they had to get the pepper spray because the people who deserved the pepper spray needed to be pepper sprayed. Now, look, the moral of the story is this. It was all a mess. Okay, a mess created by people who chose to do the wrong thing by rushing the door knowing they didn't have tickets. Listen, I don't care what anyone says. When you do the wrong thing on purpose, nothing good happens. Nothing. Okay, I need y'all people who rushed the door to get in to have some integrity about yourself. Integrity is doing what's right, not what's easy. What's right is purchasing a ticket, standing online, and waiting your turn to get in. What's easy is not buying a ticket and attempting to rush the door to get in. You idiots trying to take the easy route ruined it for everybody else. Go get a job, save your money, and purchase tickets like everybody else did. It hurts my heart. I feel pains in my chest like Tyrese coming out the courthouse for all the people couldn't get in last night because of all these knuckleheads, okay? So please give all those idiots who tried to rush the door at the Barclays Center the biggest hee-haw, please.
I know.
It's a damn shame.
Because they really missed my show and my set, man, and they would have enjoyed it.
Yo, it was dope when you came out, though, because it was like four people in the front row that threw up glow-in-the-dark dildos. And I was like,
those were glow sticks.
Those were glow sticks?
Yes. They were glow sticks. We threw out glow sticks to people, and nobody had no dildos.
Time out. So you mean to tell me all of those hard, long things they was holding up in the air was glow sticks?
Yes.
I thought they was dildos.
No, you wanted them to be dildos. That's what you wanted.
Charlamagne,
that's what you wanted.
Glitter sticks.
I was like, where are the You Are Vicious signs?
But You Are Vicious.
You sure those were glow sticks?
Shut up.
Now, hold up. No, I'm not letting you off the hook either.
What?
Envy in his laptop right now has the Migos record featuring Nicki Minaj and Cardi B from Culture 2. And he talking about he got to wait till 9 o'clock to play.
Yeah, come on now, Envy. First of all, they were supposed to preview the entire song last night.
Since when do you follow
at Powerhouse,
rules?
The Migos did preview a snippet of the song.
You're supposed to be the most vicious DJ in the industry.
Cardi
Since
B
when
and
do
Nicki.
You follow
the
rules?
Vicious DJ.
Huh?
I got them. Don't want a people's choice. The most.
You gonna
vicious
wait till 9?
What's the name of the song?
Why don't you wait till 9:30?
It's called.
Keep it 9:30.
It's called Motorsport.
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 And what you doing? You gonna play the record or what?
No, not yet.
This is a damn shame.
Not yet.
What if we give you a dildo?
Yes. There you go, Yee. Let's see how. There you go, Yee. How do we convince Envy? Let's bribe him.
Oh my goodness.
So that's a yes?
No.
Hey,
no.
Yee got one that's high speed.
What if it glows in the dark?
You know what? I'm not messing with you guys. All right, when we come back, the Pastor Carl Lentz.
I don't want to hear from Pastor Carl when you sitting there with a goddamn Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, Migos record.
Hey,
I like
Pastor Carl. You
can't
say Pastor Carl
and then say God.
And then
right,
say,
I'm
sorry.
What's wrong with you? You better
please
pray right now.
I rebuke
God
thee,
know
Charlamagne.
My heart. God know
my goodness.
Heart.
When we come back, the Pastor Carl Lentz will be in the building.
It's He's got a new book out.
You don't sound excited as you sound like the song.
Yeah, come on.
He got a new book out.
You want me to lie?
All right.
But thank you, Pastor Carl Lentz. We're going to get him on.
Well, we'll go gospel over secular, I guess.
Yes. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
My guy,
Pastor Carl Lentz.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back.
Pleasure to be back, my brother.
Pastor Carl has finally putting out his book, Own the Moment. This must be meant for me to read because somebody gifted me a book called The Power of Moments. And then here comes your book called Own the Moment.
We're on to something.
And I like it. It says, make the most of what you do have. Don't be so fixed on the future that you miss the power of the present. Why is it so hard to focus on the now, Pastor Carl?
Well, first of all, congratulations on your bestseller.
Thank you, sir.
Holler. I think people need hope right now and reminders that, you know, we can't do a lot about a lot, but but we can do something about what we have, you know, in our hands right now. And that's why I wrote it, because I think, you know, these are frustrating times and people need to know we can do something about what we're a part of. You know, whatever job you have, wherever you find yourself, there's more power in it than you probably think.
So and you're right. We spend so much time, like, videotaping what's going on instead of living in that moment.
Living in the moment, that's right.
You know, you go to a show and you're like, oh, I got to make sure I put this on my Snapchat. Or you said you're with your son, he's riding his bike, you're taking a picture of him riding his bike. But sometimes you need to just experience and live in that moment.
Well, we are living in the moment, just living it through our phones, which is whack.
Right.
Put your phone down.
Yeah. Like, you have eyes, you have a memory. You know, sometimes that stuff's better, so... Yeah, I think we got a moment in time right now, culture-wise, to do something. I mean, it's really easy to criticize. There's a lot to criticize, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But my goal, somebody once said, we need less fingers in the culture, more thumbs. Like, what am I going to do about this? Mm-hmm. And everybody can point and judge and yell. But I still think that there's a time and a place for that. But I want to be somebody who's found trying to make a difference.
You get criticized a lot, but you seem to... embrace the hate, so to speak. You know, they criticize you about your tattoos, your pectoral muscles, okay, your sense of dress. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Maybe they're right about the sense of dress. I need help. somebody holler at me. I think, you know, you can't expect to make a difference and have everybody get it. You know, if your goal is to be understood, it's a boring life anyway. So I think for me, I've learned how to almost measure how I'm doing by who doesn't like me. There are some people where I don't want you to like me. You know, we said
when
that
the right people don't like you.
we said that in our church. Like, you know, for instance, if you're an overt racist person, I'm not sure I want you to be comfortable with me.
Mm.
And if you are taking ground, that means you're taking ground from somebody. So, you know, for me, when people criticize us, I just say God bless you. And you know, if you don't want to take the time to get to know us and what we do, that's on you.
Well, John Lennon said that once. He said, being honest may not get you many friends, but it always gets you the right ones.
Exactly.
In the book, you say, forget living the dream and learn to embrace the beauty of your reality. Explain that.
I feel like everybody talks about, like, the dream scenario. You know, we normally compare our lives to somebody else's Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our behind the scenes to somebody else's Sports Center highlight reel. And I feel like it's awesome to have dreams, obviously. But we got to do something with what we have right now, because if you're always waiting for the ideal thing, we miss so many moments that could matter right now. So for me, I got big dreams. All that stuff's great. But I also have a responsibility to do as much as I can with what I have right now. So it's twofold. It's not like no dreams. I'm not like anti-dream. I think, you know, Martin Luther King was, I have a dream, but he said it while he was walking.
Mm.
And to me, there's so much power in that. I know a lot of people were like, someday I'm gonna have a show like The Breakfast Club. It's like, cool. Where do you do your internship?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you studying? And I think we got to raise up a generation that's willing to dream and willing to work, because they don't you know, work without each other.
Now, how do they balance that? Because that's a tough balancing.
I think you got to keep your hand to the plow, so to speak. So I've never once waited for an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, I'm gonna look at opportunities. I'm gonna knock and I'm gonna keep moving. But I'm not going to wait. I'm going to do, you know, the best I can with what I have right now. I think God always blesses that. And I do believe that because I'm a Christian, you end up looking a lot better than you really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's not that we work harder or somebody who's successful is better necessarily. It just means sometimes God can breathe on what you're working with.
Do you believe in karma?
I believe in sowing and reaping. Karma is a different word, but the concept of you get out what you put in, to a degree.
Okay.
Why to a degree? Because I believe in it wholeheartedly.
I mean, I believe in it wholeheartedly as well, but I do believe, like, if we all got what we deserved as a Christian, I'm thinking, I don't deserve to walk with God. I don't deserve to know Jesus. I don't deserve anything I've got to that point. But beyond that, on, like, an earthly, practical level, you get out what you put in. Like, don't expect this to grow if you're not going to water it, if you're not going to, you know, grind for it at all.
I love that idea of not just living up to your potential, but exceeding what your own expectations are of yourself.
Potential? If someone looked at me one day and they said, Carl, you really lived up to your potential, I feel like I would be doing God a disservice. You know, I don't... Potential. It's like, I want to be that guy who people are like, no way.
I can't believe
there's no way. A dude from Virginia, shout out envy to all the Hampton U people.
There you go.
I love that. I love how people know me from, like, that's what's cool about going to your hometown, though, because people know you. You can't fake anything in your hometown.
Not at all.
So, like, when people see me, they're like, okay, I used to be an atheist, but you, I'm interested. Mm-hmm. Because you can't fake where you're from, what you, who you are. And so when people see my life, there's no explanation for it other than maybe what he believes is real. Because he's not that good. He's not that anything.
That whole concept of potential is interesting because you never can quite live up to it because you don't really know what it is. I guess you might have your own goals and your own things that you want to accomplish. But most of the time, potential is based off what people say about you after the fact. And, and you kind of addressed that in the Own the Moment chapter when you said that trendsetters and moguls and true pioneers were never really accepted or appreciated in their time.
Ever. And they never will be. You know, like Colin Kaepernick, for instance, like, you know, he's vilified one minute and now it's starting to change. The narrative's different. There will come a day when people will be like, you gotta kneel. You gotta stand for what you believe. But I think number one, we need to appreciate people right now. And number two, nobody who's ever stepped out was cool in that moment.
Nobody, so, not Martin Luther King Jr., not Muhammad Ali, none of these people we idolize now, none of them.
Nobody. And that's we live in a culture where everybody is desperate to be approved of. Mm-hmm. You can't change culture if your number one goal is for people to like you. I think the essence of change is being willing to say, I'm out here by myself. And we have a phrase at church, don't ask God to, you know, deliver you from your own prayer request. So you can't on one hand say, God, you know, use me to go out on waters that I've never been on. And then next week pray that, you know, you feel shaky. Or God, use me to reach people. And next week, people are walking all over me. It's like I said that in the book. If you ask God to use you, he will. So be careful before you say some things, because he's looking for available people.
All right, we got more with Pastor Carl Lentz when we come back. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Pastor Carl Lentz in the building. Yee.
Is it hard to embrace somebody like, say, Harvey Weinstein wanted to come to Hillsong, and he was like, I need some help. I need to talk. I need some guidance.
Horny Weinstein.
Last time I was here, you asked me about Charlie Sheen, and here we are with Harvey Weinstein. I'm like, Lord, help me. Let me get a peaceful news cycle. No, it wouldn't be hard for me because Harvey Weinstein, he needs Jesus like I need Jesus. And are the consequences of his sin heavier? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, that man needs help. And if there's any place he could ever come that would open up the doors, it would be ours. It doesn't mean that we absolve or endorse or advocate or excuse his behavior. It just means our answer is the same. No matter what your problem is, no matter what your sin is, no matter how big or small we might make it, I feel like we know what the answer is. So, Harvey, you know, we're praying for him like we would anybody. It's sad, and it's going to get worse. And it's interesting how on one hand, we honor Hugh Hefner when he passes away. The dude was a pornographer. But yet Harvey Weinstein is this demon in culture right now. And I said, we got to pick our poison here.
I can't let
here.
You do that, Pastor Carl.
What did I do?
Hugh Hefner he founded Playboy. He owned Playboy. Those playmates wanted to be there.
They were consenting.
Yes, Harvey was using his power.
No, I'm not likening what they said. I'm saying what they represent. So we're mad on one hand about what Harvey Weinstein has done, right? But the culture that created it, we also honor.
What's the culture that created it? Like womanizing? Or what do you mean? Like,
or you think pornography is...
Yeah, I think that how can one thing be acceptable and then we not expect things like the Harvey Weinstein thing to be accepted for so long?
It's nothing wrong with sex, but it's something wrong with being a sexual predator.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
in no way am I likening these two men together. What I'm saying is we have a culture that can't pick which direction we want to go. So is Playboy, is Hugh Hefner worthy of honor right now? And yet... You know, we go to Harvey Weinstein and we vilify him, you know, up and down. I don't know. I think that sometimes
it
gets
two different things. One of
two different things.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein did a lot of illegal.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying, though?
No, we don't.
But they didn't anticipate.
Somebody out there does.
I don't know about that.
I'm not saying they're the same thing. I'm saying the point is we have very, very murky water right now with morality. So that was my greater point.
You think pornography is immoral?
I think the evidence is there that pornography is destructive to anybody that's involved with it. Now, if someone's got better research, please show me. But from what I've seen and from what I know, I don't think it's helping anybody.
Now, you know,
that's just my view. That's why I'm sitting here in the middle.
You're like, it fuels like sexual desires more so than other things? I don't know.
I think it definitely devalues what is right and what is holy. And I don't think, you know, I think you can get to a point in culture where you're so ingrained to think some things are right. You know, we start to lose our sensitivity. So I think from what I've studied, from what I know, the people that I've walked through some pretty nasty journeys with, sometimes pornography is a ever-present factor in all these scenarios. So, people need to make their own decisions.
But point isn't rape, though.
No.
It's not rape.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying that, guys.
Assaulted.
Come on now. I wasn't saying that.
He's saying the culture that...
I was talking about culture, and y'all are like, Harvey and Hughes are not the same. I didn't say that. I'm just saying it looks to me hypocritical.
In the news, they said that you had a bromance with Justin Bieber, and they posted pictures, and a lot of those pictures weren't you.
True.
That's so random.
I like to let people.
That's only like one or two that wasn't him.
That wasn't him.
Yeah, when they was trying to paint it as an inappropriate thing, the pictures definitely weren't you. Like the guy in the pool.
Right.
Yeah, that wasn't you.
No, sir.
So they're saying that pretty much that the reason Justin Bieber stopped his tour was because of his conversations with you.
Right.
Is there any truth to that?
No, sir. And if you look at his Instagram where he spoke on his own behalf, that's only people who speculate like that don't have any context of what it means to have a pastor or a friend. And Justin made his own calls. He made his own decisions. It's not my role to tell this boy, this man, really, man of God, what to do. He's going to do what he's going to do, and I'm going to sit there and say, I'm with you. If he asked for advice, I would give it, but that's not my primary role. Why would I have a hand in him canceling his tour? Why would I want believers mad at me?
They mad at you, too.
Some of them. I mean, some of them. Most of them understand that if you're a fan of anybody, you want them to do what's best for them, but
correct.
There were a couple people that were mad. Yeah, some of those photos were weird. They weren't me. One time, I leaned in to listen, and I saw a couple photos that, you know, tried to make that something. It's not. I'm like, I'm 38. I've been married for 14 years. And this is, I've known Justin forever. Like, how desperate are we to manufacture stories about, like, you know?
I think it's weird that we live in a time where, like, if you see somebody genuinely doing something good, the first thing we think is, something's inappropriate.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
I wrote about it in the book. Like, it's so much easier to go, the Breakfast Club isn't for real. They got to be doing something wrong. Rather than go, how have you three? How many markets are you in?
70 plus.
Yeah, 70 plus.
Or 80 plus.
80 okay. Markets. It's easier to look at something that's going well right now and hating on it mm-hmm. than it is to go, what can I learn from this?
Right.
And that so people, like, I talked to a reporter one time about the Justin thing, and I was like, yeah, there's nothing weird. He's like, I just don't believe it. I don't believe that people can make their own decisions without heavy-handed, you know. I said, it's sad that you feel like that. Like, what if he's just making good decisions? Like, right. Why can't you just believe that this is legitimate?
And if you have said something that has touched Justin and caused Justin to, like, clearly he's changed. I mean,
we
remember where he was at a few years ago. We see where he's at now. Clearly he's changed.
I feel like a relationship with God changes your life. Do we have a factor in that? Well, you've helped change. You're a good friend to me. We've had great combos. So there's a lot of factors that go into somebody changing their life, and we get way too much credit for that stuff. We're a local church. Yes, we do support. Yes, we do bring help. But Justin's made good decisions that are based on his relationship with God. No man gets credit for that. And I think... have we had a hand in it? I hope so. I hope I made his life easier and a little bit more supportive. But at the end of the day, you know, we need, you said it well. We need to look at things that are going well and clap for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it bugs me out because I know you. And, like, I'm like, well, that's who Pastor Carl is, though. Like, Pastor Carl sends me messages all the time encouraging me and prayers and, like, I mean, all the time for no reason. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's who he is. Like,
I think, but that to me is the essence of community and life. And, but if you don't know church, like, and you don't know the way we do church, this is a succession of years of help, encouragement, guidance, wisdom, conflict, challenge. And so you see, it's like looking at the Instagram that somebody has arrived. Instagram doesn't show you the days where you fall on your face. Nobody Instagrams their bad days. Like, here I am again, stuck in the same place. Like, no one wants to, you know, no one wants to talk about that. And that's a shame because those are the moments that make you. So when people see Justin doing better, anybody doing better for that matter, yeah, it's cool. But understand where, you know, where envy came from. Understand what Angela's been through. Don't just ask you about the bestseller. Mm-hmm. Ask about what it was like to grow up in South Carolina, you know, mm-hmm. with nothing. That's who makes you who you are. And it's the same thing with Justin. He's worked hard over a long time to make better decisions. And, you know, I'm proud of that, proud of him. And I think that's the hope for everybody, that anybody can change.
Well, you know, you got to leave us with a prayer.
Jesus, we thank you for a new day. thank you that everybody has the right to come to you and get grace when we need it. So, Lord, I pray for anybody listening that you would bring hope to the hopeless today. You bring healing to those that need it. We pray for our cities. We pray for our country. We pray for our government, Lord, that you would continue to have your way. We thank you for what you've done. Jesus, we believe that the best is absolutely yet to come. And we love you. Thank you for bringing us here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Carl Lynch, own the moment. Go get
thank
the book
y'all.
Right
there
now.
You have it.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
People do things they shouldn't.
We know, Envy.
Like what? Tell us, Envy.
Envy, you do whatever you want.
Like that.
Are these your confessions?
Envy, do whatever you want.
Don't make me out to be a liar now. I told everybody that I couldn't possibly be you.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that, you pervert.
You're not talking about the dildo
okay.
Right?
No, no.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Motorsports record, right? Now, we got the record early, right?
The Motorsports record it's the Migos featuring Nicki Minaj and Cardi B.
Right, got it early.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Charlamagne I got it early. So we talked about playing it a little early before we were supposed to,
yes.
Right? Yes. All right, let's do it. He advertises, we're going to play the song at 8:50.
Salute to the Shade Room for posting it. Drop on the clues,
they
bombs.
Did?
Yes, they did. So,
why did you do that?
It's 8:54. Why
he
we late?
He was trying to slide in and do that on the low, and then you posted it.
First of all, this is not a good week for NVB sliding in on the low. And doing anything, okay? All right? Let's stop it, G. Now, Envy.
It never works out for you.
So, it never works out for you when you try to slide in on the low, Envy.
So, anyway.
Yes.
So, I've been getting the phone calls like crazy about this record. Do you have this record?
Yes,
where did
he
you
has
get it from?
It. We all listened to it a couple times in here. Mm-hmm.
I don't have it. I don't know what you're talking about.
And Nicki and Cardi both got busy.
All right, but we're going to do the rumors, and then we'll play it out of the rumors.
Okay.
So, we're playing it at 9 a.m.
Would y'all shut up so we can do the rumors and play the song?
All right.
I'm sorry, Yee. Jesus Christ. Why do I get talked to like
this? Let's go! Play the...
It's about time.
This guy got a big mouth. Pause.
You got...
Wow.
You got a big butthole.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on the Breakfast Club.
God, man.
You guys are made for each other. All right. Colin Kaepernick has been invited to attend the NFL owners meeting. They've extended that invitation to several team owners and players and to Colin. He's going to be joining them. Now, Colin is happy to attend. The players are reportedly happy to have him stop by as well. So we'll see what happens. But he does have a pending case against the NFL's owners for collusion.
Drop on the clues bombs for my guy, Colin Kaepernick. He's got his book coming, too. His book is coming.
Yeah. All right. Over 300 women now have chimed in about James Toback, the director. Now, this director, there's a story in the L.A. Times about him. And that story has about 38 women's allegations against him. Now, according to the writer, 310 women have contacted this writer so far, Glenn Whip, about their encounters. One person said he told me he'd love nothing more than to masturbate while looking into my eyes.
What?
Selma Blair told Vanity Fair that her representative set up a meeting with Toback back in 1999. The director asked the actress to read a monologue naked in his hotel room.
Vicious.
Initially, she declined, but then he insisted he was training her to be a better actress, so she did it. And at one point, she said he started rubbing his penis through his pants and asked, would you F me?
Yikes.
Right. So now I'm going to give you this information. A 2010 study based on a decade of data found only 2% to 10% of sexual assault allegations are false reports, and that sexual harassment and assault are some of the most underreported crimes in the United States. So those are just some numbers for you guys. Now, Ashley Judd, in the meantime, was talking about what happened with her and Harvey Weinstein. And she told Diane Sawyer this yesterday about how he tried to trap her in his room. And try to get her to give him a massage, and then wanted her to watch him shower naked. And this is how she said she got out of there by making this deal.
And finally, I just said, when I win an Oscar in one of your movies, okay? And he was like, yeah, when you get nominated. I said, no, when I win an Oscar. And then I just fled. Am I proud of that? I'm of two minds. The part that shames myself says no. The part of me that understands the way shame works says, that was absolutely brilliant. Good job, kid. You got out of there. Well done.
So she managed to get out by making that deal. And she also did say that she would forgive Harvey Weinstein and that he needs some help. Here's what she said.
I believe that there is hope and help for everyone. It has to be the appropriate help, and there has to be a real profound understanding on the part of the sexual predator that what they were doing was wrong and criminal.
Should he go to jail?
If he's a rapist, he absolutely should go to jail.
What would you say to Harvey Weinstein today?
What I would say to Harvey is, I love you and I understand that you are sick and suffering, and there is help for a guy like you.
Yeah, I think the appropriate help for sexual predators is castration. Just get rid of their penis. They've misused it. You know what I mean? They've weaponized their genitals. It's time for them to go.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report, and we are going to get into this, right?
All right, let's get into the goods, Envy.
Envy, come on.
Envy been sitting on this motorsport for 9.5 hours.
I'm not sitting on anything.
All right.
Okay, first of all.
Okay.
I'm not sitting on anything.
This record featuring Nicki Minaj and Cardi B. It's the Migos featuring Nicki Minaj and Cardi B. You have the record, right, Mr. Hampton, alumni?
Yes. Come on, Envy. Are you going to play?
Let's play. Let's go. All right.
You got it. Okay.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/Parity Flex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.